Sometimes we make wrong choices, may act wrongly because of our proclivities, and we don't even realize it. So if we don't even realize what we are doing wrong, then how can we do right through the right action as devotees? Yes, this is what happens, especially when we are in the lower modes. You know, one humorous way of explaining the three modes is, some people make things happen, some people watch things happen, and some people wonder what happened. So, in goodness, people are purposeful. They observe, they understand, and they make things happen. Brahmanas don't just run around doing things, they make things happen. So some people watch things happen. So when you are too much in passion, at that time, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do that. But often we do things thoughtless, not very thoughtfully. And that's why one thing leads to a chain reaction. This happened, this happened, this happened, and everything becomes very complicated. And we just get to watch things happen. This is happening, this is happening, this is happening. We watch things happen. And in the ignorance, some people wonder what happened. This whole thing is just, we just don't figure out what is happening. Chigaunitai Bhagavan ki jai. So, the process of spiritual advancement, it also means that we become more self-aware. Self-aware means that we become more aware of what we are doing, what we are thinking, how we are desiring, how we are acting. And this self-awareness happens as we rise more and more towards Sattva-guna. See, self-awareness is not self-consciousness. Self-consciousness means that, say, if I'm sitting right now, I'm thinking, how do I look? Is my tilak proper? What are people thinking about me? We're just basically conscious of our externals. That sort of thing is unfavorable. Self-aware means we are more reflexively, internally aware. Okay, what am I doing? Not in the sense of how the world is perceiving me, but in terms of my own values, how am I acting? That happens when we come towards the mode of goodness more and more. And there's an interesting psychiatric study that was done. Nowadays, a lot of people have a problem of overeating and obesity because of that. So people were asked, in a day, how many food-related choices do you make? Should I eat this, should I not eat this? Should I eat this much or should I eat this much? So like that. So they did a survey, and on average, for several hundred people, they did a survey. They said that we actually did 12 choices. 14 choices, that's what they said. But when they went back over the day, they found they had made 227 choices. So more than 200 choices, they did not notice only. It was just like, so one of the things that happens is, distraction is an invitation for temptation. That means if I'm distracted, if I'm doing one thing and I'm thinking of something else, then while thinking, okay, I'm talking on phone, I'm also looking at my computer, and without my realizing, my hand goes into a sweet box and eat a sweet. So what happens? If we are too distracted, then we are not aware of what we are doing. So sometimes we feel I'm chanting and I'm not able to concentrate on chanting. What is the use of my chanting? But to become conscious that we are not concentrating is also a form of concentration. I may be distracted and I may not even realize that I am distracted. If I am distracted and I realize that I am distracted, that also indicates that there is some level of awareness. So even if we are chanting and we are not able to concentrate, still if we try to concentrate, that at least becoming aware that I am distracted, and becoming concentrated, trying to concentrate again. Again getting distracted, again coming back to concentration. This at least makes us aware of where our consciousness is. And this helps us in the rest of our life. So when we are doing other actions, when we start doing something wrong, just by the attempt to concentrate during our chanting, we have become more and more aware, and that self-awareness carries over to other activities. So in general, by developing Sattva Guna, and by practicing Krishna consciousness, by which we become more and more aware of where our consciousness is, we can recognize when our proclivities are moving us towards wrong things. And we can correct ourselves. And specifically, if we have some particular conditionings which push us towards wrong things, then there are two things which we can do to deal with it. First is create some obstacle between ourselves and that particular indulgence. So don't keep that indulgence readily available. Now in Google, also they had, Google as a company, they had this experiment which was done that they had their shop, the cafeteria sort of thing, where there were sweet chocolates and all such delicacies which were kept in transparent bag, transparent bottles. And as a part of the experiment, they just changed it and they put it in covers which were non-transparent. And just by doing that, the consumption of sweets, of desserts, of chocolates among the employees decreased by 35%. So out of sight to some extent means out of mind. So that way, if you don't keep the temptation readily available, even if the proclivity comes, come on, do this, but it's not readily available, then we have to go through some trouble to get to that. And in that process, our intelligence comes back to us. Hey, I should not be doing this. So sometimes people have a problem that they may, nowadays with internet available everywhere, people can surf wrong sites, undesirable sites. And just one click and suddenly the whole world of the whole world of garbage can open up to us. So then if we can, if that is a problem, then we have some internet filter or something which restricts the sites that we go to. So basically, whatever is our weakness, we can try to create obstacles between us and that indulgence. So that in the instinct comes, we don't act immediately on it. And secondly, when this sort of thing happens, we can ourselves observe what are our triggers. What are our triggers means, our consciousness has broadly three zones. There is a safe zone, there is a danger zone, and there is a fall zone, a relapse zone. Safe zone means at that time we are not very agitated, it's overall peaceful. Danger zone means the temptation is not troubling us. And then relapse zone means where we fall into the condition. So it is our triggers that take us from the safe zone to the danger zone to the relapse zone. And all of us have different triggers. So we can become more aware of what the triggers of our consciousness are. And then once we become aware of the triggers of our consciousness, then we can take safety measures. Just like in a house, there's a fire occurring, if there's a fire alarm, and the fire alarm occurs, then at that time, we come to know that the fire has come before the fire becomes very big. So like that, as we practice bhakti, it is not that the fire of desire will not erupt in the heart. But if the fire of desire erupts, we become aware faster. Hey, this is happening, let me check myself. So that requires practice. Even if the important thing is not that what we do when the proclivity comes and pushes us. Sometimes sometimes electricity is there going like this. If this is normal electric level, sometimes the electricity spikes come up. And when the spikes come up, at that time the desire becomes very strong. And we may not be able to resist also at that time. But the important thing is what we do between the spikes. That means sometimes we say, oh, I've fallen down now, so let me fall down completely. No, you've fallen down, okay, rise now. There's no need to fall down further just because I have fallen down. The mind often plays a very dangerous double role. What is that double role? First, the mind makes us do wrong thing. Do this, you will enjoy. Do this, you will enjoy. Do this, you will enjoy. And then, after we do it, and we say, this is so little pleasure. Why did I do that? Now, what happened? The same mind which made us a criminal now goes and sits on the seat of a judge and judges us. Why did you do that? You're such a fool. And it beats us up. And now this beating, it actually doesn't help us improve. It only makes us more discouraged. So either way, in both cases, we are mind conscious. We are not Krishna conscious. And mind consciousness means we'll stay trapped in the clutches of the mind. So okay, if the spike of desire came up and I fell down, I did something wrong, okay, that's over now. If the spike has come now it is gone. Now let me not think about that. Let me think about Krishna. Let me, by practicing bhakti intensely, purify myself, strengthen myself. So if when the spike happens, it may not be in our control. But what happens between the spikes, that is very much in our control. And if at that time we are intensifying our bhakti, if that time we are purifying ourselves, we are nourishing ourselves spiritually, then gradually when the spikes come also, we will be able to resist. So, rather than worrying about what will happen when the next time temptation comes, whether I'll resist it or not, whether I'll be able to protect myself or not, whether I'll follow on, focus on what we are doing right now. Right now we nourish ourselves, gradually we will come to a level where we will be able to resist temptation later.